Hello, everybody. This is Mike Strauss, and we're continuing on our never-ending journey on how we can improve staff stability and the capacity of our workforce. And welcome to Good Life U. And what we're going to be talking about today is a few things that might make a difference right now. But if I can, I kind of want to reminisce a bit, because as we start this episode 2 years ago from now, we all sat round tables and wondered in March of 2020 what we were really facing. I mean, I can't even express the dread and concern in how we felt, you know, when we really didn't have solutions at all. And we really didn't know what we were facing. We feared possibly the worst. And we really didn't know how things would turn out. Well, 2 years later, we also wouldn't have believed that we would be enduring this process for 2 years. And here we are, feeling like we're starting to emerge to a little bit more normalcy, if you can say that. And things are starting to become a little bit more normal from an activities point of view. Most everybody has services open, and some of the mandates are either, you know, not as stringent, or in some cases, you know, are optional. And so we feel better about some things. But as challenging as all of that was, it's really hard to believe that we're sitting here as a country and so concerned about how fractured and how challenging our workforce is. I mean, in all sincerity, many of the people I've talked to, the challenge is so much greater today, because we really don't have the workforce to deliver services the way we want. And I know that I've talked about a lot of agencies and a lot of states are getting, you know, sometimes even an unprecedented amount of new money to increase wages. But in all truth, you know, however that feels to you, to have more money for wages, I hope everybody understands and realizes it's not enough. It's not just about wages. I mean, what we found in the pandemic is people don't want to work the way we've been working. I mean, people are moving away from five-day work weeks, you know, to shorter work weeks. They're not wanting fractured schedules. They want, you know, good schedules. They want great pay, but they want life balance. And if we can't give it to them, there's plenty of other industries that will. And it's not about what we're paying. So getting more money and increasing wages can empower agencies to just bail water faster. Or it can give them the opportunity to think differently about how they deliver services and to pursue another path. And that's the path that we follow. We want to call it, you know, the road to the good life. And that is a way of delivering services that's more stable and better. And it includes, you know, different strategies where we've talked last year, if you remember, about the front half and the back half 3 day work week. We looked about neighborhood staffing, and we've talked about premium pay, and we've talked about how you do paid time off differently. And if all of these discussions I'm having right now seem a little foreign to you, I really suggest that you go backwards. Take the time to go backwards and listen to our earlier series of Good Life U that went through all the strategies that brings us to where we are today. I know many of you actually listen to them, and it's really cool, because I hear that you guys are listening to them at staff meetings and you're looking forward to the next, you know, presentation. And we, you know, I'm very grateful for that and appreciative that you do those things in order and discuss them. And I ask that you do that and continue to do that. Now, we're, you know, where we are today, We're going to continue into the spring, into the summer with all kinds of new presentations that's going to go look at little different issues that gives us an inch or a foot in our quest to gain some ground here. There is no silver bullet. You know, I would tell you maybe there's a two or three really good strategies that gives you tremendous gains. But really what we're doing is looking at every little bit of ground that we can get to improve the stability of staffing and to improve our capacity to work extra. So over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about things of how you can redesign your services for the future and really look at how you can make some quantum improvements in how you deliver care with the same resources that you have. So we're not talking in a year, well, great, that increase was great, but now we need more money. But you know, if you know the history of funding, we don't always get more money. And it's great when you get it, but you cannot just keep feeding, the system in a way that we knew before the pandemic wasn't working. It's time for change, and it's time that we do it. So we're going to talk about all of that. But I think today I'm going to digress a bit. I'm going to talk to you about just one thing this time and maybe next time about something that I think can help right now. Right now, we are all experiencing an unprecedented number of vacancies in employees, right? And so we're trying to get our employees to work more. And that's the only choice that we have, is getting people to work more. And that works for a while we redesign other things and try and improve other things. But we have to have people work more. And if we can't get them to work more, then it's going to cause problems with managers working the floor, which they already are, and those kinds of things that more fully strain the system. So this time I'm going to talk about a new contingency that we use that has been proven to be very helpful. It's called the 36 and 48 pay contingency, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. And next time, I'm going to talk about replacement staffing strategies, because it's important that we develop replacement staffing strategies in a very thoughtful way so that we have additional resources and we can recruit a pipeline of people that's a little bit broader than what many of you are currently recruiting. So that'll be next time. Replacement staffing strategy will be next time. This time I'm going to talk about a contingency called the 36 and 48 hour contingency. Now I call it that, and it's a silly name, but it's based upon our work patterns that we've gone over previously. So you may want to review the front half and back half work week. And we'll show you what episode that is. But it's the front and the back half work week. What we found, I don't care whether you're working a five-day work week or a three-day work week, what we found when we did research on this with the University of Kansas is that people who were hired to be full-time were regularly working less than full-time. Now, if you have a really rich PTO system, people will be working less because you're paying them not to work. Now, we have a session on that too, and we've already done that. So you might want to go back and learn a little bit about how we do PTOs, and that will be a helpful thing there. But what we found out basically were we had these unknown vacancies, and I call them unknown because if people are calling off, and instead of working 36 hours, 3-day work week, 12 hours a day, 3-day work week, and if they were calling off and working only 2 days, that wasn't very helpful for us. So, especially right now. So what we wanted to do was to try a contingency, a pay contingency, to see if it would have an effect of people working more. And by the way, the same phenomenon will happen when you look at if you're a 5-day work week and you do a payroll report and you look at the average number of hours worked, you'll find that your workers are often, a large segment of your workers are working far less than 40. They may be working 30 or even fewer hours a week. And then, of course, there's always people who work more than 40 for overtime, but you'll be surprised how many people are working less. This could be because they have a second job and the hours don't match up. And so instead of working out the schedule, they call off or they don't reliably come every day. They may have some other obligations. So the 36 and 48 hour contingency was designed to reduce call-offs and encourage people to work more. It's a simple process, but not necessarily simple to implement, but it's a simple process. What we did is we had a base pay, as you remember, and I'm going to make it easy. Nobody pays this anymore, but let's say it was $10 an hour as the base pay. And then, of course, you know, we had premium pay for weekends, and so that was time and a half for the weekends, and so that was $15 an hour for the weekend. So if we paid a base pay of say 14, 12 an hour, it would be 18 for the weekend, and if it was, you know, accordingly, so it's at least time and a half. So for 3 days work, right? Well, the 36 contingency is that we decided to pay our employees an additional dollar an hour for every hour that they worked, not for additional hours, but for every hour they worked once they hit the number 36 hours. So in a normal work week, once they actually worked 36 hours, all hours worked, we increased by $1. And by the way, that went into affect their base pay, which would then affect their premium pay, because again, that's time and a half. It would also affect overtime if they ever worked overtime. So then when they hit 48, then they were paid another dollar an hour for every hour worked. So in essence, they could make two more dollars an hour by hitting 48 or more, and one more dollar an hour for hitting 36 or more, if that makes sense. Now, by doing that, what we've done is we've created a contingency so that people are motivated to get to 36, which in our scheduling process, in essence, is full-time work. So by the time they actually worked their schedule, which means they didn't call off, they worked three full days, three full shifts, they were rewarded by an additional dollar per hour for every hour worked. And then if they picked up another 12-hour shift, then they were paid another dollar an hour for every hour worked. Now this, obviously, we wanted to find out, well, what impact did this have? Well, what happened was the people who were working 24 worked that extra shift. The people who were working already 36, it motivated them to find one more shift. And remember, in our system with a 12-hour day and a 3-day work week, you're only working 12 days a month. So according to our research with KU, the 3-day work week actually allows you to pick up 38% more shifts organically than a 5-day work week. So the 3-day work week has always been more effective in having people pick up shifts, primarily because if you're working 5 days, you know, you only have 2 days off, and so not everybody wants to work 7 days in a row. But when you work 3 days, picking up one shift additional isn't that challenging, especially when you have 4 days off, and this would just result in 3 days off. But when you do that, in addition to this contingency of the 36 and the 38, it actually allows you to pick up even more shifts. And so that's why, you know, the 3-day work week is probably more effective without the contingency than a 5-day work week. But you add the 36-48 contingency to the 3-day work week, and it's significantly more effective in ensuring that people work their 36 hours and encourage them to actually work extra. So in that way, you get more work out of your entire workforce, not just a few people working extra to compensate for other people who work less. So I hope that makes sense. So if you're interested in this contingency, you know, we'll be able to send out more information to it for people who, you know, chime in or write in for us, and we can tell you a little bit. Probably the hardest thing about it is the payroll strategy of that. Some systems will allow it, some systems have trouble with that. We work to help people get through all of that process, and we're happy to help you do it. But again, where we are right now is we are left with a workforce that we have. And there's more vacancies than we would otherwise hope to have. And unless we can get the entire workforce not calling off, working their schedule, and picking up more shifts, it's not going to be an easy time for us while we're recruiting more people to help, if that makes sense. So one little tidbit of the 36 and the 48 and how it might be helpful for you. And if it is, let us know. And if you have questions, let us know that too. Next time, we're going to talk about replacement staffing. And many of you, and I'm very scary with this in many ways, have gone to pool staffing because you've ran out of staff. There's lots of disadvantages that we'll talk about that with pool. Not just the cost, but the fact is the when you use pool staffing, it often leads to people leaving your program to work for the agency, the temp agency that is actually delivering staff. So it actually causes the opposite of what you hope. It can cause greater loss of employees. But even if it doesn't, you're looking at, you know, costs that can double what you're actually paying for the pool. Well, we're going to talk the next time about how to create your own pool staff and how we can do it in a way that can help you implement our front and back half system of staffing also. So next time, we'll be working on that.